Yeah, for sure.
Adi, thanks for coming on. And yeah, I sometimes, like what you just said, I sometimes feel the same way. I just sometimes feel so good just being in my own little world here for a little while, and you know, kind of the whole thing. I recently, about like a year ago, I joined a studio where I get to now interact with people on a daily basis, and that's been really nice and all that. But I ideally, you know, it's always just kind of, you know, just a notebook and thinking and writing and doing things every single day, man. So how you doing today, man? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. It's 5:30 a.m., which is perfect time. So I think we have like about an hour before my daughter usually. So from 6:30 to 7 a.m. is like a dicey territory, because it's like, okay, she'll wake up anytime now. But so I tend to bang out a bunch of writing before that happens. So yeah, otherwise doing great.
Good. Family's doing good. Everyone's doing good.
Oh yeah, yeah. My daughter's
awesome.
Growing up so fast, it's ridiculous to see a tiny
human.
How old
is she now?
She's 19 months old. No.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
I remember her being born. And like, it's funny. I don't know. I don't know if I would have noticed this if I wasn't doing what I'm doing right now, which is writing. It's like, is this practicing observation as a skill? If you're a writer and you want to write better copy, write better content, anything. So I just keep observing her. I have like, after, as I said, like after our chats, she'll get up and I'll spend like 3 to 4 hours with her, just playing, feeding her, doing whatever. That is the time where I just notice what she's doing. She's doing a lot of stuff at any point in time. She's like super busy. I don't even come close to how busy she is and how busy her day is. Okay, I need to eat this sock, or I need to throw that utensil, or I want to pick that and keep it there and hide something somewhere. So it's like,
and that's hilarious.
Seeing her progression, it's kind of interestingly makes me a better copywriter also, I think, because like, human psychology doesn't change if you're 19 months old or you're 90 years old, honestly.
Yeah, I believe it. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Let's start there. What's your morning routine look like? So you wake up early, you get some writing. Like, what does that usually, that morning routine look like now that you're juggling, you know, a kid, I should say, and you know, you have a wife and, you know, family stuff, and now you're also focused on some of the work you're doing. And I know you've kind of pivoted with some stuff we've talked about offline. And so I'd love to kind of hear what you're doing now and how it fits into your morning routine and what that looks like.
Yeah, man. I used to have a very complicated morning routine when I started out, like when I quit my job two plus years ago and I landed on Twitter and I read a bunch of these morning routine threads. I was like, okay, I need to get me some of that shit. So then I drafted up a bunch of complicated stuff, like trying to cram as much as I could, like meditation, journaling, this, that. I've tried, I think, 50 routines from every other person on Twitter. These days, especially after the birth of my daughter and the pivot to freelance, it's like, I've just like culled almost everything. My morning routine is dull as shit, pardon me. It's nothing. I just get up. So I get up at an ungodly hour that my wife calls, it's like you get up at night, like you don't even get up in the morning, it's like 3 a.m. So get up at 3 a.m. and the reason for that is just working backwards. Like, I'm pretty clear on my priorities now as opposed to I was like 2 years ago when I quit and I was pretty much like just wandering. So like, I want to spend time with my daughter, like 3-4 hours, and she wakes up, like playing, feeding, bathing, just doing goofy shit. So before that, I like to write in a place where nobody's awake right now. This is still late. It's like 3 a.m. like absolute dead. Dark outside, cold. You get a cup of coffee. You pretty much do nothing. Like, I just to wake myself up, I do some handwriting.
Yeah.
I have like a bunch of crap to handwrite. And there's, apart from just warming up my brain, mostly. It's like, because I'm still groggy for like the first 5, 10, 15 minutes. I do that. Maybe I'll do some push-ups randomly. I keep changing it just to get my blood pumping up. And then I'll wake up. And I'm like, okay, then I start writing. That's it. That's pretty much my morning routine. So I'll
Yeah,
start,
yeah.
I will at any point in time, like 3, 4 writing projects going on for myself, for my clients. It's like something is always there. I tend to focus on spending the first 60 to 90 minutes on my own stuff. It's like either, so I wrote a book recently, which is pretty crazy. I was finishing that for the past 2 months, or I'm writing my emails, or I'm writing copy for myself. And then I shift to client work. And that's pretty much it. Like, you don't you really
Yeah.
need a complex set of things, at least I have found that, especially if you have a kid, you genuinely get to decide, okay, is this important? Because this is the only time that I have, and you don't have time to faff around anymore.
Absolutely. And that's amazing. You spend a lot of, I mean, just from just hearing you talk right now, I mean, I knew this about you, but you spend a lot of time thinking and writing and, you know, a lot of that stuff. Is that, 'cause I know we've talked before about it, and you know, you and I met in a writing course actually. And but how when did that become such a big part of your life in general, not just your like morning routine or you know whatever, but like how's that progression been of like starting to write, and when did that start, and kind of how it's developed into, you know, it's developed into a business. I mean, you have clients, you have other things going on, and I want to hear more about the book as well, obviously. But what's that? What's that been? What's that component been like? And when did you really just like put, you know, it sounds like I want to go ahead and say like 50, 60% of your day goes into like writing, it sounds like.
Yeah, a lot of good questions there. So I'll just answer the writing part first. So one of the things that when we met, like in January 22, when I quit and I came online and I did that cohort, I just published a bunch of writing for the first time online ever, like in my life. A bunch of people reached out to me, like, okay, right, well, how do you do that? I'm also new, you're also new. Why is your writing better? That was the implied question. I always look at the implication behind somebody's questions. And the answer to that was like, that was not the first time that I wrote. In my banking job, I'd already been writing extensively for like 6 plus years, almost 6, 7 years out of my 9 years, because there's a lot of writing involved in my job, surprisingly. And I'm not talking about presentations and shit. It was like proper documents, crafting documents, reviewing, editing them for clarity. Even though what I used to write was brain dead bullshit for the most part, it was just legal nonsense. But I had the habit of sitting down and writing long ass documents or editing really boring documents. Like, they were hard to read. And that actually burnt me out, which is still the irony. Sometimes I think about it when I'm staring off into space, which I often do these days. It's like how I love this craft so much right now. And it is one of the biggest reasons for my burnout with banking. Like, apart from dealing with boring people, it was just doing boring writing. It's awful. But boring or not, I actually was good at it because people kept telling me that, so I did my document, or please check this, or proofread that shit. I was like, okay. So when I came online and I kind of got this permission that, okay, I don't need to write boring shit anymore. Nobody is there to review my stuff. And yeah, there are too many threads in my head. So I think I had the habit of writing from my job. Then when I took control of my life, so to speak, at the end of 2020, it was like COVID. I started therapy, which is also something that we discussed. It helped me a lot. And journaling was a big part. Oh yeah. Like, I've journaled extensively for like 3 plus years, from 2020 to almost 2022 end. Now I do it on the fly. I don't have a set routine for it. But back then I was handwriting journaling, so I filled like notebooks worth of just mental clutter, emptying my brain. So it's like writing then changed from like, okay, boring office writing to writing for myself. It's like journaling, it's clarifying what I want to do in my life. Then it came to, okay, online writing, just Twitter content, fun stuff, random, absolutely no purpose. Then now it shifted to copywriting, which is, okay, it's more directed. You're writing emails for clients or yourself, you're writing sales pages. Writing ads. It's now, honestly, I don't see anything as separate. So to me, it's just kind of become a part of my identity over like so many years of doing it. It's like I just write. That's how I think about it. I don't think of myself, okay, I write emails. I might position myself as I offer services of writing emails to clients, for example. I don't think of myself, okay, I just write emails. I don't write this. To me, everything is just it's creating what you have in your head. And so my craft and my thinking is mostly focused on how can I clarify what is here and then transfer it to a page in the most clear and also kind of fun manner, because boring writing, as I said, it's like it's just boring, it's bad. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like that. I like that you don't separate, these different kind of elements of writing, whether it's emails or sales copy or whatever that, whatever that topic of conversation is at the moment. Like it's all just like, this is just what I do. And I think that's kind of where things get, for a lot of people that think about, writing and different things. It's like, I never thought about writing from a writing perspective, but me getting into the tech side of things in like 2012 and being a project manager, pretty much all I did was do writing and try to explain to people, developers and designers, what needed to be done. Like, hey, I gotta give them like the overview of why we're doing this project. I gotta do this, then I gotta do this, and then they have to know exactly. Like, I had to take the client's thoughts, filter them through my brain, and then filter them over to more of a technical. But like, there's this like whole process, and man, I just didn't realize how much of that I was doing until I decided to say, "Oh, I write now." Like, I gave myself this like you said, it started becoming a part of my identity, and I was like, what the fuck? I've been doing this for like 15 years, but I just never looked at it as like, this is a core component of what I do. And it's interesting how the mind sometimes doesn't connect that because it's just part of your day to day. And whether you're
Absolutely.
writing an email to your client or to a, whatever that is, you're still using words on paper. You're taking what's in your brain, you put it on paper, and now what you're doing outside of that is like, are you creating a service around your writing? Like, that's what I think I got a little bit confused with myself was like, well, I don't write for people. I write for myself to explain things to people. I didn't write like emails for other people. I didn't write sales, all that stuff. So long story short, it's just all about kind of how you, I think how you look at it in your mind and how it, compartmentalizes that way. And when I started writing online, it was like, oh, I'm just writing to express myself and distill my thoughts and put ideas forward and give thoughts to people and different things like that. So that's always been kind of like an interesting, concept from that perspective. But yeah, man, that's amazing. Tell me about this book that you're, writing or wrote. I'm interested to hear a little bit more about the book.
It's just a project that I picked up because I've developed a bug ever since I came online, trying to do my own thing. Like, if I don't have something going on the side, apart from, okay, I'm writing for clients, it's like, start getting restless. Like, what do I do in the first hour of the morning? It's like, I don't want to do client work, like, upon waking up. So I read a book. I think one of the world's best female marketers, a guy also on Twitter, Ben Settle. I've started reading his emails. I bought a bunch of books. Man sells really expensive ones. And it was really good. It was just talking about documenting your expertise. So I have been working with this YouTube client. She's been on my email list when I was doing a different model. I write daily emails these days. And she's been on my list for almost 2 years. And she knew that I wasn't freelancing. But when I started freelancing, she was the first person that I reached out to. Like, you've been trying to work with me. Now I do offer these services to you. So it's like, yeah. And she's been trying to launch a cohort around the channel that she has. She had like 150K subs back at the time, but a very tiny list of like 2,000, 2,500 people. I was like, okay, let's focus on your list. Forget your YouTube. And then we re-engaged the list, crafted a offer for an info product. And then I kind of crafted an entire launch strategy just to our email list. And then we did that, and that launch did pretty well. We generated around 52K in like 4 days from that tiny list. for that offer. Got like 274 buyers in, and overall it was pretty intense and a lot of fun. And so I've been doing that. I've done that since, and I have another launch like coming up for her cohort now in like 2 weeks. And I just enjoyed doing that model a lot, like which is open close email launch. And I studied a lot on it and I tried it out, obviously did well. So the book is basically a case study for this launch. And the reason for that is like I talk about what I did, why I did it, what I see a lot of people do wrong, especially on X. It's like while there are legitimate experts on X, but most of your devices, I don't know what or where it comes from. Because I've seen like, and I include an example of it. There's a creator with like almost 300 followers that I saw do something exceptionally, I don't know, sabotaging for their own launch. And I include that as an example of what not to do. So it's mostly a short book, around 60, 70 pages, on the launch framework that I used and how it tied to with examples from this course launch. And I just published it. It's still getting cleaned up. Like I'm publishing it in stages because I've been perfecting and kind of polishing it forever. So I was like, fuck that. Just get it out. I launched the PDF first. Then I got somebody to design the cover. Then I'll launch that again. Now I'm going to publish it on Amazon. And that's going to take another week because they have like complicated formatting requirements, which is just annoying, but it is what it is. So,
That's amazing. Congratulations, man. I'm really
thank you.
happy to hear that. I'll make sure to link to that in the show notes when this goes live. So
I
if anybody
appreciate
does listen to it, they can also find that if they need it. So
it.
but how, what's been, let me ask you just in terms of, and I'm gonna go ahead and just assume this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like it sounds like your ADHD levels are just really high, kind of like mine. There's always like, things fluctuating back and forth, and things are, going on in your brain, and there's like five different things popping off at any given moment. Like, how do you sit down and control those thought processes, and how do you like just really distill down to that task that you want to get done in that very moment? So one day it might be an email, another day it might be part of the book or whatever, because I have a lot of this going on. So I want some of the secrets, if you have any, of how you put your, like, to me, truthfully speaking, like it, I don't know, this is kind of like one of these like real, like I don't know, superstitious things, but to me it's very hard for me to work if I don't have these headphones on anymore, because they have noise canceling and it just turns everything else off, and it's just me, and whether it's my, my notebook or it's my keyboard or whatever that is, like, how are you controlling the chaos?
That's a very good question. Honestly, I only am like partly controlling it because
You
it's
can never control the whole thing. You can never control the whole thing.
I at least till now, like still fairly new in this journey. I was talking about this incidentally last night with my mindset coach. That's a work that I regularly do, like once or twice a week. I was talking about the sales page that I have to write. I've been like procrastinating on it in a sense because I've been reading up, doing more research than I need to, maybe, and just faffing around the place. And the deadline is approaching. It's not like on my head, but it's still there. She was like, maybe that's just part of your creative process. And I was like, huh, okay. I didn't think of it that way. And she said, every person has their own process. And she knows a person who writes copy at the highest level, like 8, 9 figures worth of thing. And that guy coaches me. And she says that he researches, then goes plays video games for 2 days, then comes back, researches, then goes plays video games again. And then suddenly he'll get, okay, I have now lots of information in my head. And I'm playing video games. Now I want to write. And then he'll just sit for 3 days and like bang out a long sales letter. That's from a copy perspective, but the process remains the same. I think that guy's been doing it for 8, 9 years now. It's like more like leaning into the chaos of creating and how you do it. I just realized it's going to be very different from what I do, you do, somebody else does. But I get your question. One is on the focus aspect of like, okay, knowing what to do. The other is on the writing process. So this is on the writing process. I think I've also developed a lot of those mental routines. I've started going to a co-working space just to get like a couple of times a week to get like 6 7 hours of uninterrupted time. So that's something my brain is now used to, like laptop, earphones, coffee, and then it's like, okay, just 6 hours of not talking to anyone and being an antisocial asshole. I don't talk to anyone. Street and just be a grumpy old man typing on my laptop. And apart from that, I think on the focus aspect, that's a harder thing to do. It's just daily reminder, man. Like I kind of stuck with a weekly review sort of stuff, but that's something that I do. Like I have like 3 to 5 things that I need to get done, and I kind of front load them as much as possible in this morning slot so that they do get done, even if I get distracted during the rest of the day and do something else. And that's mostly it. And physical reminders, like as I said, like my wall that I stare at daily is not empty, it's full of crazy post-its that I use to remind myself. Like honestly, like let me show you some shit, including this big ass note. That no is a full A4 sheet, and the reason that it's there is exactly what you said. I stare at it every day. So I can't hear you. I think you're on mute.
Sorry, I made a mute, but yeah. So you basically create your own chaos and you organize it in your own way, and you don't follow anybody else's routine. I fucking love that, man. I fucking really,
Thank
really
you a lot on
respect.
that.
Yeah, same here. Because, and I'm not gonna lie, sometimes you see somebody, whether it's like a post or somebody tells you something that you're talking about, and you're just like, oh shit, I have that same problem, and they have some sort of solution that works for them. And even though in that moment it sounds really good, and it's one of these things where you're just like, oh, I got the problem all figured out. I go home and I go take care of this, and I'm going to do this. And 90% of the time, it does not work for me the same way it works for that person.
Absolutely.
But it does plant a seed to say, oh, okay, so if that works for them, what is my itch that I'm starting to scratch? Like, you know, that sort of thing. So it's just like this like distillation process that you have to kind of go through and realize like what works for you and what doesn't. So that's, I think, also the problem when it kind of going back to the writing side of things is like you can have, you know, a template that works for somebody that somebody created, and you can look at it and say, oh wow, that's like great. But when it really gets down to it, it's like that's again just a template that works for that person. It doesn't work for you because your brain works differently, your process is different. You don't maybe start at the beginning of a story, you start at the bottom, at the end, and you work your way. Like there's always just this different method to the madness. And I think that's the other thing that I kind of not only learned myself, but I also feel like I see with people all the time is that they're trying to achieve the same level of success by taking basically one to one what somebody else did and not implementing. Like they're trying to change their entire behavior in a way that just they think once they change that the road is paved for them and this whole thing. It's like it's not. Like you really just got to go in your own. You got to drive your own car down your own road and figure it out from there.
I think, yeah, that's a great point. Something I only realized almost 2 years after the fact, and that's especially true for people who are starting out. And something I talk about, like on the first, maybe on the second, third page of the book that I said, is like I give a context before going into the framework, and the first thing that I say is like, will you get literally the same result? Will you make 5 figures from a tiny list? Unlikely. And that's an odd thing to say at the start of a book that promises you that you can make big things happen. And the reason for that is context. That's like my favorite word. It's like you don't know a lot of shit that I did, which is not the launch framework. Like I'll tell you the launch framework so that you can get the best possible result, for example, that you could do. Will it be this much? Will it be better? Will it be far? I don't know. The point is you have to go and do the thing. That applies to writing process, that applies to growing on Twitter or doing pretty much anything that is not scripted, like mostly a job. Like if you don't have a defined JD and you're doing anything that is unscripted, you can't copy anyone. Like I've stopped doing that honestly with the past 6 months, and my life has just been better. Like my business obviously is better. I learn, It doesn't mean go and learn what something worked for them. And then you think, for the most part, I will try to apply it. If it's somebody who's legitimate, like, for example, I said Ben Settle's system. That's he said, write a book, post it online, and do the next steps. I am doing that. But then I didn't write a book which he exactly told me. I wrote what I had, what made sense for me, what was easier for me. And that's the point people get stuck at. You can use templates. That's fine. Use templates to start. Just start. biggest thing is, if you, especially like if you're a beginner doing this, if you're a pro, obviously you have your own process. People just get stuck on, they want certainty, if I boil it down to everything. And I have, what I've started doing with everything is I've just started, and it takes time, like started leaning into the uncertain nature of everything, my routine, my writing, what will come out on any given day. Sometimes I'll bang out so much writing, I'm like, okay, what the fuck did I just do? Oh my God. And on the other days, it'll again be, oh my God, but from a different perspective, like, why can't I write 5 words today?
Right.
So
right.
You kind of have to go and genuinely sit with that uncertainty and let it wash over you, in a sense, rather than trying to fix it at any point in time. Please be certain, because it can't.
Exactly. So there's always going to be that level of resistance, especially with writing. There's always going to be that something else wants to pull you away while you're trying to do this thing, because you need to, you know, you need to get it out, but there's something else. It might be, you know, I heard somebody say on a podcast not too long ago, it's like, I don't know if you read or listened to the book by Stephen Pressfield, The War of Art. And that's
one of my favorite books.
Exactly. It's like one of those things where it's like anything that you're doing, you start writing and there's something going to pull you away. This, you know, this fucking phone, first and foremost. It's like, or you see something in the corner, you're like, oh, I should probably clean that. Or I should. There's always something else that you want to do, but when you know you should be doing this thing. And it's that constant resistance that you're feeling. It's coming from every angle. It's coming from behind you, in front of you, the side of you. It's coming from every single angle. And the real thing is like, find what that muse is for you. Find that thing that you have to say to yourself, like, no, do not look up. Do not look in that corner. Do not look in that corner. Like, if that's what you have to tell yourself, then that's your process and that's okay. And at some point, your mind is just going to know, hey, don't fucking look at that. Like, just don't. Like, there's no ifs, buts, or ands, you know? So, it's just, I don't know, man. The mind, like you said, the psychology, even you were talking about your kid, it's like the psychology of different things is just like, you really need to like unfuck your brain sometimes, somehow. Like, you really need to unfuck your brain.
Absolutely. Again, like, you've been doing this for a while, so you say things that make me want to talk about a lot of things and speak on one. Like, about unfucking yourself, you can build your own routines. Like, I have some simple dumbass shit routines. Again, I don't have anything fancy, but timer for me, like, the watch that I have, the biggest thing that I use in this costly ass watch is a fucking timer. It's like the most common thing that I use, like 50 times a day. Whenever I sit to write anything, not just write for like 5 hours, from 3 to 7 years, like, okay, I write an email, 30 minutes on the clock. During those 30 minutes, I can stare at my laptop, I can bang my head on it, I can fidget all in my chair. Only thing, again, and this is something that I took from guys like Stephen Pressfield and others. Like, I can't get up. That's all.
Yeah.
I cannot. Yeah. I can. And the point is to get comfortable with that discomfort. It's like, and I've done a lot. I still do. Sometimes I'll sit and just keep fidgeting, doing this, that, okay, I don't have anything. And eventually, after 5-10 minutes, I'll just start writing bullshit. Genuinely. I'll just start writing what is going on in my head. Sometimes I literally write, okay, I can't write. I don't know what to write. And that will get the wheels turning. And then I'll start writing the email, and then I'll delete the first 2 paragraphs, and then I'm back. The point is, I just realized that is how it works. People will not even do that. People are like, okay, I can't write, I'm gonna die, so like, let's just quit and go to social media. And one of the things that
it's easy.
It's the easiest thing, like, because the discomfort is what makes you want to run away and go to something that's fun. So one of the ways that I've unfucked my brain is like, when you want to be a good writer, and that's most of what my daily routine is optimized towards. It's not optimized towards income or clients or anything. It's just, how can I write better? Because everything flows down from the skill that I have. It's like I have installed software and shit, and it's funny you need to do that today just to be able to focus. But my day and my technological environment is honestly carefully crafted. I have softwares to block the crap out of social media and emails, and my apps also, they don't work certain times of the day. For example, in this during this morning slot, I can't access email, I can't access Twitter, I can't access Telegram is mostly on, but I don't use it. I can't open it. On my phone, I can't. It'll be blocked. On my laptop, it'll be blocked. So even, and the point is, I did that when I realized that even with the timer, I will sometimes get so uncomfortable that I will instinctively open it. And I'm like, fuck off. So I just remove the part where I have to exert any effort. So it's like, okay, somebody else is taking care of it, and it's a software and doesn't care about my feeling. So I have like fixed blocks where it will just block specific sites. And I just found that to be really easy. I don't mind anymore. My wife thinks that I'm crazy because why do you need to go to such extremes? And I'm like, I don't want to exert any willpower. I keep all my willpower and energy for the writing that I have to do. I don't want to think, oh, I shouldn't open Twitter because I can't. And that's like really
Absolutely. What do you use? Do
easy.
you use Freedom app? You use the Freedom app?
Oh yeah, I use Freedom. Just block the shit out of everything.
Exactly. No, I love it, man. I think that's beautiful to hear that, the everybody wants to have the perfect setup, and it's just not possible. And nothing is perfect. Not, your setup is not perfect. Your writing is not perfect. Your fucking business is not perfect. Like, nothing is fucking perfect.
No,
Like,
nothing
just
is.
deal with it on a day-to-day basis, and fucking just, do your best. But I did want to, you touched on something like sitting there for that 30 minutes on that timer and different things, and not having obviously anything like open or anything like that. But when you write, let's say, your emails, or you want to post something or whatever that might be, are you somebody that goes, or how should I phrase this? Like, do you have kind of like a inspiration like thing that you go through? Like, do you look at people's posts? Do you have like a swipe file of some sort? Do you have some sort of like email list or notes where you kind of keep things that caught your mind while you were reading something? Like, do you have like a bucket of inspiration for things that you want to talk about, or something that triggered you when maybe you're listening to a podcast or an audiobook and you just kind of notate it down really quickly? Do you hold something like that, or is it most of the time you'll just sit down and just kind of like stare at a wall or fidget with your pen or whatever else it is until something just hits you?
So I don't have a swipe file. I said about it so much, but I'm mostly out of laziness and some sort of weird perfectionism. I don't, because it's like, who's gonna organize it? I don't know how to organize it. This time, like, I don't have anything that is clear cut that I can go to, but I just have a lot of information online. It's now curated to an extent, so. The best thing I do, like I do two things. One thing that I've been doing is, if you know Storyworthy by Matthew Dicks, there's a concept he calls homework for life. It's basically noting down Storyworthy moments on a daily basis. I read that about when I started my Twitter journey in like November of 2021. The first cohort that I joined, like the guy introduced me, I was like, okay, that's interesting. And I read the book. I haven't even finished the damn thing. And I just came on this concept, and that sounded really interesting to me, so I started doing it. That was one of the first times where I was like, okay, just like, fuck it, I'll do it. And I've been doing it ever since. November of 21, every single day. That thing has become automatic now to me. In the first 3 4 months, it took me time, oh, 10 minutes, what was there? There was nothing.
Before you go on, explain to people that might not know that book. I know a lot of people have read that book. Explain really quickly, because I know the concept, and I have a file in my notes where I start. I'll be honest with you, I fell off after a while. I was doing it every day, and then like just like in like a lot of different things. And now one day you bring it up, it's like, oh man, I got to get back to doing that. So just explain to people what it is and how you format it. It's very simple. It's just like, but tell me how you go about it, and what you do with it.
Yeah, the basic concept is just that people say they don't have anything to share. Stories, interesting things, And that's just not true. Like, as long as you're living life, there is always something interesting happening. It's just a matter of developing your perspective and lens of seeing those things and tying it to other ideas. So what it does is basically capture those story-worthy moments. And one of the biggest revelations that I had from reading that book was like stories don't need to be like big moments. You're like, okay, I quit my job. That's a big moment. You don't do that every day. So what you do is play with your kid every day, for example, and have silly moments that make you think about life differently. It's a very tiny moment, genuinely. But it fundamentally changes something in your brain. And that happens to me almost on a daily basis. It's, when I see her, for example. And it's basically capturing those small 5 second, 10 second moments and capturing them in a file because you won't remember. Human memory is horrible in terms of remembering moments. When you write them down, and you write them very briefly, you write cues about the moment. It's like, okay, my daughter did this, said this, and that is what I realized. It's like a one line. It doesn't even have to be a sentence. It can just be words or cues or physical location. So that when you read it next time, when you're reviewing it, your brain will remember it. And that's how the memory works. I don't even do it now exactly. That's what the concept is from the book. You just take 5 minutes at the end of the day to review what was one story worthy moment. And maybe you'll have more, maybe, but you'll always have one, even if it's insignificant or feels that. Over time, I started doing it a bit differently. I kind of, again, developed my own thing for it. My notes are more detailed than Matthew Dick recommends. He recommends it to be shorter for ease of doing it so that people actually do it. But over time, since I've been doing it for almost two plus 2.5 years, I write. I don't do it at the end of the day. For me now, after so long, it's real time. It's like, and it's pretty funny because when it is happening, my brain automatically goes, okay, this is something that you need to record because this is interesting. And I'm like, huh, why is this interesting? I'll record that also. So my notes are like 3, 4 lines, which is going against what Dick says. So that is the only thing that I have which is recorded. And I even took it one step further that I have, and I don't format it. My thing is, again, it's just messy as shit. It's literally a text file with a date and bullet points. It's like date 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I do it real time. I don't do it at the end of the day, building up through the day. Then I started doing it for other things that I regularly do, apart from like my homework for life file is separate. This is just whatever comes up, something interesting. Then I have a file that I started writing daily emails for myself around 2, 2.5 weeks back. So I keep getting ideas for daily emails, which is very closely related to this. So I have a daily email file, again, in a text note, which has now reached, I think, 20,000 words. Because what I do there is not just write the idea. Something comes to me when I'm on a walk, I just literally write the email. And it is a first draft, so it doesn't need to be seen by anyone. I've just gotten better at, okay, interesting idea. How can I link it to what I want to say? That's pretty much what I have. And I'll do it for clients also. If I get an idea, I'll have a file running, a Google Doc or a very simple thing. Okay, this is a sales page that I need to write. And I'll be doing something and get an idea. I'll just open the file and just jot down whatever comes to my mind. And sometimes full like paragraphs come to me, and that's the funny thing I've realized about writing. I read somewhere that like ideas don't come from you, they come through you. And that's something that I've realized it's true because it's like I don't create them. I don't know where they come from. I was like fucking washing my hands, for example, after lunch. And then a big ass clear cut headline like will come to me. I'm like, okay, I need to note this down right so now. So I'll go on my phone and I'll ignore my wife when she's saying something and she'll get angry. But I'll just like write for 5 minutes and I literally have like 500, 600 words of I don't know where that came from, but it came. And then I note it down. That's it. It's messier than I would like, but again, I've just accepted that. Maybe that is my process, and I'm not as organized as I used to be back when I was a banker. Like I used to have folders within subfolders within subfolders, till like 50 subfolders. I'm like, I don't have any folders these days, which is pretty funny.
I love it. I love it, man. That's so I love that you embraced the chaos in your own way and you created your own. So I want to give you major props because not that it seems so simple, but most people want to tailor their process to something, to somebody else, how somebody else is doing it. They're not willing to admit to themselves that their shit's just all over the place. And I really value that. I really value that about your story, because I think it goes a long way. I wrote something down while you were just talking. Well, I wrote a couple things down. I have a lot of different guests on the podcast, and I'm speaking from just what popped in my head while you were talking.
Sure.
I get really, really fucking energized talking to you about writing. And I don't know what that is. I literally just want to put that out as like a statement on this podcast that like, there's this like writing in general. It gives me a lot of energy when I do it, when I find that like focus, and it gives me like, but talking to somebody that does this on a daily basis, somebody that's dedicated themselves to the craft, that's, and again, having that human aspect of like, hey, my shit's all over the place. I do this, I do it this way. There's no format. It's my format. All these other things. I want to let you know, like, I don't even know how to phrase this, but like, there's something real about that that hits me a little bit differently. And I, no joke, I was like talking right here. Look, I even like double underlined it. Like talking to Adi reminds me how much I love talking about writing. Like that literally is a statement. And so I just wanted to share that with you because it just like that inspiration, no matter how far you're thousands of miles away, but that inspiration, that realness, like really has an effect. And it comes through in your writing on social media. It comes through in a lot of different ways. And I just want to tell you, like, that's really, really impactful.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a great comment. Thank you so much. And just tying it to what we were saying, like, my brain is already registered that this comment out of this almost 45-minute conversation is the story that I will note for today, because this is how it works in practice.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of shit. All of it was interesting, but this is something that my brain registered is like, okay, this is interesting. And I've kind of, over time, honestly, developed a physical sense for it, which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
It's like when I realize there is a story, my body will react, like almost physically. Mm-hmm. Like my brain wakes up and like, okay, pay attention to this shit. This time in that conversation. Right. And that can only be developed by just being crazy, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't have any... Like, you have to be a bit crazy. I think that's
what... You have to embrace it.
Maybe you feel, because when I was a banker, I was absolutely brain dead. Like, transferring energy over a Zoom call is one of the hardest things that I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it from most people. Like, I attend calls and I'm like halfway, mostly asleep during most workshops. Paid. Like, I paid to be there and I'm still sleeping. I like, okay, that was your fault because you're boring as hell. So, So that's awesome, because as I said, like most of what I do, I have a guiding principle for structuring my day outside of my fatherly duties or being a goof.
Yeah.
And there's just one question that I realized I think a couple of weeks ago. It's like, will this help me write better? That's the only question. And like everything is geared towards that question. If I sleep late, will it help me write better? No, so fucking go to sleep. If eat an extra cheese double pepperoni, will it help me write better? No, so don't eat it. So I have honestly overcome addiction because of this question. I didn't use it so pointedly. I started using it. I used to have like occasional drinks. I used to be a binge drinker back in my banking days.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, a scotch every couple of days. On the week is like, I'm doing something, it's stressful, let's have a whiskey. And then I have two whiskey. Then next day, you're feeling like shit. So actually, I was like, along with obviously being a responsible father, like, will this help me write better? I'm like, no, so I'll go. So, and I haven't had a drink in like almost an year now. It's a lot. So it's just interesting.
that's your north star. That's like your thing. Yeah. Like every time you look up, it's like, is this dude, I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. I want to touch on daily emails. Something that you said you do now on a regular basis. Let me make a quick confession here. really quickly. I was writing a newsletter for, and I still do. I can't say I don't write it. I just haven't. Something happened. I don't know what it is. I was sending out a weekly email, and I just felt like maybe it was that thing that we talked about, where I just felt like I was following somebody else's like imaginary script of some sort, something that, you know, hey, you have to send it out every week. You have to do this. You have to do that. And I just felt like if I was receiving these emails, I wasn't getting excited anymore. I was just kind of like, you know, there was just like kind of like dull things that I started talking about. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to, even if people decided to leave, I just didn't want to do that anymore.
Of course.
Now, how, so you, I know you went from writing weekly and now you're writing daily. What's the thought process behind that and why that shift? And on top of that, as a second question, as a second layer, how's that impacted, like whether it's your business or your life or anything like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think the model that I got introduced to, which is the weekly email, is mostly because of Twitter. Big creators are doing that. So I was like, I didn't know anything. So I started doing it. Mostly the Justin Welch model, so to speak, because he's like the most prominent one out there. Then eventually the thing that I realized is some people just write emails for writing emails. That's fine. My goal with writing emails for my list was to build something, build a business, attract clients, eventually build offers around it. So that wasn't working for me. I also got bored. I reinvented the newsletter a couple of times. That's when I didn't know the concept of daily emails till like 6, 7 months ago, when I discovered a couple of copywriters. So this is a pretty common practice in like big ticket like email marketers who are some of the best in the world. Guys like Ben Chadwick, for example, or another guy called Daniel Throssell. So they email every day. Sometimes during launch, they'll email even multiple times a day. I don't get bothered by it. They're selling, soft selling their services in every email. But the big point is their emails are interesting to read even if I don't click. And they're there every day. First of all, it's just top of mind. It's good from a purely business point of view, because I follow a lot of people that are generally good. Whenever I go on the timeline, I'll see them and I'll get reminded of them. That's the funny part. But if they're in my inbox every day, I'm just reminded of them every day. And I don't get bothered by it because their emails are genuinely fun to read. From whatever perspective, it's either it's spicy gossip or it's a fun story or it's an interesting take that helps me think better, whatever it is. And I kind of forget about the people that don't mail regularly. That's from a business point of view. From a writing point of view, again, the fundamental North Star question applies. Like, the only way to write better is to write more. Like, volume, I think, is, apart from taking feedback, is like the number one rule of writing better. So I thought, like, I want to write emails for a living, for clients, whatever, and I want to write generally better copy. So what is the way that I can help my business and help my writing craft? And like the daily emails kind of fit perfectly into that, because what it has done, and it's fairly recent, the change is like only 2.5 weeks. This is my 3rd week into writing daily emails. One of the things that has happened, it's forced my perfectionism to, I've like beaten it down kind of still. Now it's subdued. So it stays down, because it's like once I committed, and I was hesitating to starting it because I was like, once I start, I just not going to stop. So, and there's a mindset shift. So, and I've had like almost 2, 3 days that it's like 9:30 or 10 p.m. by which time I'm brain dead, but I have to edit and send my email out, and I'll do that, and it'll be less than perfect, and it still does fine because it went out. And my writing time has reduced drastically. For example, like I used to take 4 or 5 hours when I was doing weekly emails, sometimes trying to perfect each sentence. And now I typically write an email in like 20 minutes and then I edit it for 10. So like definitely under an hour on a bad day, but like 30, 35 minutes on a day. Like, and the nature of the emails also changed. It's a different style of emailing, honestly. Multiple benefits from writing better for myself, writing more, being top of mind for people who want to listen from me, people who don't believe. And with daily emails, you don't even have to worry about randomized metrics like, oh, what opens am I getting? What clicks am I getting? Because it's there every day. It's like if somebody didn't open today, they'll open tomorrow, they'll open next week, or they leave. All of those outcomes are fine. And
wow.
It helps me
amazing
refine my craft on like multiple levels. So basically, I'm telling stories, short stories, 300, 400 words. They're not even long emails. They don't have to be long.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still studying that craft. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it's
no,
just
committing. It does, it does.
It's like committing to, I'll send an email out every single day. And it's good from like every perspective apart from just the effort that is required. So I usually do it first thing in the morning, then I'll draft it out, or I'll draft it out while I'm walking, which is a new process that I'm kind of experimenting with. It's good because it helps me get in that flow and write out a first draft very quickly. And then I'll clean it up a bit and then send it out. So that's pretty much it.
Beautiful. And how many, if you don't mind sharing and you can decide not to, how many subscribers to your email do you have right now?
Oh, I killed off my earlier list. So I barely have like 120 subscribers right now. I had almost 2,000 back when I was doing the weekly thing. But one, it was geared towards beginner writers because that's what I was talking about. And then I actually also stopped writing emails for like a month or so because I just got tired of it. And I didn't want to talk about it and I wasn't doing that. So I started doing freelance work. So I wanted to use my email list to attract the right kind of person. So I did like a small weekly anti-launch, what I said, where I was asking people to leave. They were like, go away, because I'm going to do daily emails. Most people get triggered by daily emails. So you don't have to stay. Okay. I don't want to spam you. You can go. People weren't leaving. People weren't opening. We weren't doing anything. So I did the opposite.
Yeah.
I said, if you want to stay, click this link. And I did that for like 5-6 days. And whoever came on is the people that are on. And then for the rest, I just said, okay, it was a good time. And hope you do well. So I kind of deleted everyone from the list. So I'm rebuilding it up. That's one of the things the book is for. Because I'll list it, still pending for a price. And I'll write a sales page for it when I have time. But right now, it's a free price. Join the list, essentially. So yeah. I'm revealing
and
sneaky ways.
Are you mostly getting a lot of your subscribers through social, or are there other channels that you're using to get people to subscribe?
So at the moment, it's mostly Twitter. And I honestly have just started promoting it on the timeline because it's still getting finished. It's pretty much at the starting stages right now. And I will do content. I have it in my bio on Twitter.
Okay.
And I will also experiment with some paid ads on Twitter because I know they're dirt cheap right now if you know what you're doing, specific type of format. And I have some plans for trying out other ways of doing it. But yeah, again, that's all my own projects that will get implemented over the next couple of months. It's like the social is a pretty good platform. Generally, if you have a following or some presence, it adds extra credibility. But yeah, so organic is good. It's free. It's slower. But I do want to, since I like restarted my whole thing after 2 years. So I'm going to run some ads to it. So, but yeah, that copy sales is still pending. So
yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. I love that. Yeah, man, I love what you're doing. Like I said, thank you for energizing me with the talk about writing. And I feel like this is one of these, like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't even have the right words for it. It's just going to be one of these things. I'm just going to have to sit down. And I took a couple quick notes. I'm usually not one to write things down as I'm talking to somebody, but I've just come to realize that I start like forgetting things sometimes,
yeah,
and like a conversation goes from different points of different things.
Absolutely.
Family, this and that. And so I just like even one or two words or like a timestamp or something to just be like, go back to that and, you know, and talk about that or something like that. So no, man, I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, man, this has been an awesome conversation. I know your daughter's probably going to be waking up in the next like 5 to 10 minutes. So I want to make sure you go and spend time with her. But yeah, Adi, thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, man, this has been awesome. And tell people, you know, whoever decides to listen to this, I mean, like I said, this is not a huge podcast. This is not, you know, I'm primarily I'm primarily doing this because I enjoy talking to people who are creating things, whatever else it is. I don't have any like sponsors. I don't have any of that stuff. I'm just solely love doing this. It gives me energy to talk to people, especially people like yourself who I've connected with over the years. We've had a previous conversation as well, and all these other things. So, tell people where they can find you, and you know, anything about your business or your email list or anything that you want to share with people. Feel free to let them know, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to chat with you, my man. And if you want to find out more about me, it's at adivarma.me. It's ADIVERMA.ME. And that's like the page. You can get my book, get on my email list. That's where I do most of my writing these days, more than Twitter. So that's, yeah, you can reach out to me, chat with me if you want, whatever you want.
I love it. I love it. And is that your book on here, Five Figure Launches from Tiny Email List?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Awesome, man. Well, you let me know when the hardcover or when you get published on Amazon or whatever you end up doing, let me know. I'll make sure
For
to,
sure.
you know, update it and we can go from there. But I really appreciate it, man. Thank you for your time and thank you for sharing your process and how you do things. And thanks, man. Really, really inspiring to chat with you, brother.
Always. Have a good one.